NBA, Straya. How you going? That's right, man. It's Friday. It's February 16. I'm your host, James Clements. This is NBA Straya, and it's our NBA Straya All-Star Preview. Awesome. Right there, man. Let's do it. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Junkie, Red Bull, The Brooklyn Game, and a bunch of other places I am currently in. Larry Armour Studios, New York City, New York, making sure you know everything that's going on in the NBA. Who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball today. Just out here repping Australia, mate. Talking NBA junk for your favourite daily NBA podcast, why not? Sure. So, we've got the All-Star break this weekend. How does this go? Oh, I don't know. How about we throw out some rad shit? What do you reckon? NBA Australia Aussie all-time All-Star teams? Oh, is that right? We're going to have Team Gazy versus Team Heel. I'm going to pick the teams, lay it out. It's going to be rad. I'll tell you that much. We're going to rank the best All-Star jerseys of all time and offer up some of the worst ever. We've got our all-time three-point shootout contest. Oh, shit. We've got the 10 that we want to see in the three-point shootouts. And the best worst dunk comp entrance that we could possibly think of. And we'll preview all the events for the All-Star weekend and predict the winners so you can make some money. That's what we're here for. So there's also all the usual dumbassery. Yeah, nah, hashtag better than Lonzo Ball, the unpopular opinion of the day. And as we do, every Friday, we'll add to our Luke Longley Memorial All-Stars, offer up a dickhead of the week, and finish up with cooking with Bainesy. All right, it's NBA Australia. It's All-Star weekend. I'm psyched. Let's go. Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Australia, eh? Cheer, Brew.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better, because it's All-Star break. You know Shaq's around. Oh, he's just out there dunking. And, you know, don't fake the funk on a nasty dunk. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's get to the whip around. That's what we do every day on NBA Australia. Quickly whip around the last two games of the NBA before the All-Star break. It was the Nuggets at the Bucks last night. The Nuggets win 134-123. We had an amazing fucking duel between the Greek freak and the Serbian freak. The Joker had the fastest triple-double in NBA history in the first half. He knocked it over, no problems. Ends up with 30 points, 15 rebounds, 17 assists. And Greek Freak also puts up a triple-double. Damn, Giannis has 36 points, 11 rebounds, 13 assists. Jesus! The Nuggets ably backed up, though. Get the win. They get the win via the dartsman. Gary Harris has 28 points on 10 of 18 shooting. And Jamal Murray goes a ridiculous 9 of 12 from the field for 26 points as well. And the poor Bucks, all they could manage was a 27-8 for Bledsoe. And Jabari Parker, though, he's back. That's nice for 12. Hey, and Thon McCur started. We'll talk about that in Australian Player Watch that we'll quickly get to later. Nice one. So there you go. The Nuggets get into the All-Star break with a win and happily in the bottom half of the West playoff picture. Good job, Nugs. Final game of the night, Lakers at Wolves. This was fun as hell. Wolves win it on a massive comeback, 119-111. They're down like fucking 15 at points of this. Taj Gibson, old man Taj, leads the way. 28 points, 7 rebounds, 24 for Jimmy Butts before he goes to LA for the old All-Star there as well. Big Cat. Big Carl Anthony Towns, 10 points, 19 rebounds, 19. Unbelievable. And for the Lakers, I mean, you had the notorious KCP with 17 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists. Sure. Good job, notorious KCP. I'm just happy you can leave the state again, bro. Julius Randle, 23-9. Brandon Ingram, 17 points. But it was a little Croatian fella named Zubac who had the better game for the Lakers. We'll talk about that in Better Than Lonzo Ball. So with the win, the Wolves tie the Spurs for the West 3 seed. Can you believe that? Absolutely corker. So, well, they're actually kind of half, well, they're like 0.3 of a percentage point behind. So they're 36-25, a game up, and in the win column, a game down in the loss column. So it's a tough one. The Spurs are 35-24. Damn, man, but they're both 10 games back from the Rocks. So there you go. On your Timberwolves. That's amazing. And the Lakers, they've now lost 3 straight again. Jesus. Up and down, bro. I'll tell you that much. All right, let's get to the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Night.
Nice. That's a knife.
All right, this would be a knife. Greek Freak having a triple-double and the Joker having a triple-double as well. The fastest triple-double in history. Like, I don't know if I can over, like, play that enough. Like, that is fucking unbelievable, man. Like, just to have a triple-double faster than anybody else has ever had a triple-double is pretty fucking spectacular. Not bad, man. So this is, like, legit. He had 2 minutes left in the second quarter, and he had the triple-double. It's, like, the fastest triple-double the last 20 seasons at least, but, you know, that's before they fucking basically paid any attention. Amazing. The Greek Freak, though, comes out and gets 36, 11, and 13 versus the 30, 15, and 17 for the Joker. Those are a pair of knives. But, oh, but, Jimmy Butler, 2 blocks on 1 possession that saved the Wolves game and kept the Lakers at a 4-point buffer at the very end of this Lakers-Wolves game. Butler basically blocked a fucking shot from behind, pinned it up against the rim of Julius Randle, and then got the, after the rebound went, well, this sort of ball went elsewhere to the Lakers, got another fucking block, and basically it was almost a goaltend. It might have been a goaltend, but hey, the refs didn't call it. I'm just going to call it how the refs called it. That was fucking unreal. Great job, Jimmy Butler. You saved the game. The Wolves needed you. That's a fucking knife.
That's a knife. That's a knife.
All right, who's old mate, no mates today?
Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates. Who's got no mates today? I love that drop so much. It's ridiculous. it's so dumb and so funny. But old mate, no mates today. He's got to be Isaiah Thomas, right? Holy shit. What a fucking little joke of a man. This is killing me. I loved him so much, but now he's out there just not being good. Isaiah Thomas in LA, for the LA Lakers. No mates back in LA because he played 25 minutes last night. His third game for the Lakers. Ends up with 7 points. 3 of 15 shooting. Holy shit. 0 of 5 from 3. And it's like, oh, but he got 5 assists. Yeah, motherfucker also had 5 turnovers. Shit. That is a -8 for the game. The Lakers lost by 8. Not saying it's Isaiah Thomas's fault, but it was Isaiah Thomas's fault. All right, let's get to Better Than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
We're coming for everybody if he ever played, I guess. This is your daily look into who is better than Lonzo Ball last night. It is hashtag better than Lonzo Ball. And can you say, Avicii Zubac? 8 of 8 from the field. The exact opposite of Isaiah Thomas. The fucking unbelievable showing from the Laker big man. He's just out there going, yes, hello, here's Avicii. 19 points, 11 rebounds. Yeah, it's no problem. Come on, here's what I do. Zubac smash. Andrew Bogut's little Croatian buddy. Out there fucking smashing it for the Lakers. This was amazing. 19 points, 11 rebounds, 8 of 8 from the field. Absolute fucking corker, Avicii. Great shit. That's better than Lonzo Ball for today. Awesome. Thing is, you got to also remember, Lonzo, he's back after the All-Star break next Friday. That's awesome. I'm stoked. We need these comparisons, you know? Need to have the other side of the equation. Just saying. All right, who was our dickhead of the week?
Dickhead of the week!
Oh, Jesus. Is it a certain fucking racist dipshit on Fox saying that LeBron should stick to sports for literally saying people should be engaged with politics and their surroundings and listen to what those who govern them are actually saying? Oh, that might be our dickhead of the week. The level of patronization of LeBron and saying fucking false shit like he left high school a year early and he gets paid $100 million a year to bounce a basketball. That is fucking astounding ignorance and so fucking wrong. A, he graduated high school and then went and made millions upon millions of fucking dollars. And he doesn't get paid $100 million a year to bounce a basketball. He gets paid $35 million a year to play for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then the rest of his money is made through endorsements and being a fucking badass businessman. And I'm not going to give her any credibility by saying a fucking name. But if you're an American conservative, isn't LeBron your platonic ideal of like the self-made man? He is a self-made man. No government help. He's a safe, self-made millionaire, supremely successful businessman, actually has people on his payroll. He's putting back into the economy. Isn't this the idea of the free fucking market? Put himself up by his own fucking bootstraps and all that usual asshole Fox News bullshit. There's one difference for this person, isn't it? Just one little difference. Because when they say something vaguely political and just like, you know, keep your eyes open, listen to what people are saying. Oh, when a self-made millionaire pulled himself by his bootstraps says that, what's the one little difference there that you reckon got her really angry? Oh, is it because he's black? Oh, maybe. Fuck you, lady. That dog whistle is fucking loud and you're not telling it like it is or offering a different viewpoint. You're just a racist piece of shit. Fuck you. All right, good job, LeBron. I love that little segment as well. LeBron and KD talking about what they do, how they do it. It's fucking great. Go watch that. Don't watch that fucking other goddamn bullshit from that lady. All right, let's get to Yeah Nas right after this one. G'day, this is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Straya. All right, let's do it. Come on, man. We're out here smashing it. It is time for the Yeah Nas. It's the All-Star Edition. Oh, I am stoked for this one. We've got a lot of stuff to get through today. So much All-Star. I get excited for it, even though the games usually fucking suck. I don't know what to tell you. It's brutal, right? So we take three NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. And look, we're going to have like our best three-point shootout. We're going to have some dunk comp stuff. But let's get to a couple of actual yeah nahs. For all the shit we talk about it, and for all the concern we have about everybody making the team, does All-Star actually kind of suck? Yeah, nah. Nah, look, it doesn't, but it does. The game sucks. All-Star weekend and the pomp and circumstance, though, is fucking awesome. I was lucky enough to go to Dallas in 2010 for the All-Star game. That was fucking amazing. Like, all of Dallas was buzzing. All of downtown, like, every bar that you went into was, like, fucking bananas. When it was here in New York, when we were here a couple of years ago, that was when, you know, we've been here 5 fucking years, man. So when they had it across Brooklyn and MSG, it was fucking great. They had, like, all these awesome things all around the city. That's fun. Just a kind of a bit of a shame that the game is shit. Which leads us to the next one. Are the dunk comp and three-point shootout now the best part of All-Star Weekend? Yeah, nah. Yeah, they fucking might be. Holy shit, because like on Saturday, everyone's like, yeah, man, haven't been fucking like disappointed by no one playing defense and no one running to get hurt and no fucking pride in what you're doing. But dunk comp and three-point shootout, man, that is fucking pride right there on the line. That is putting your balls on the line. That is like pulling out your fucking wang and measuring dicks, basically, in basketball form, and that's fun as shit. So let's get to the NBA Straya best three-point shootout in history. I'm going to give you a 10-man field and see what you think. Would this be the best three-point shootout in history? Steph Curry, Ray Allen, Klay Thompson, Reggie Miller, Larry Bird, Pistol Pete Maravich, Kyle motherfucking Korver, JJ Redick, Dale Ellis, and Jinglin' Joe Ingles! Get him, Jingler! What do you reckon? So Steph, Ray, Klay, Reggie, Larry, Pistol Pete, Kyle Korver, JJ, Dale Ellis, and the Jingler. How good would that be? Oh yeah, nah! Yeah! That'd be fucking unreal! And, you know who I left off here? Because I had to get the Jingler on? Steve Nash! Does he deserve to be in it? I mean, yeah, nah. Nah, I think that's a good mix already. I love Steve Nash, but I want to see Jinglin' Joe Ingles in the best three-point shootout in history. How the fuck is Tobias Harris in this fucking three-point shootout instead of Joe Ingles? That is a fucking outrage. All right, anyway, let's get to the worst dunk comp right now. Well, we're going to come up with 4 entrants to make the worst dunk comp this year. So instead of Dennis Smith Jr. and Donovan Mitchell and Larry Nance Jr. and the Victor Oladipo, how about we go the 4 worst dudes? That'd be fun just to see them try. All right, let's go. Number 1, Isaiah Thomas. He's like 5'7". He took a bunch of shit and then make a layup. Number 2, Omer Asik. He'd go to dunk it and then drop the fucking ball every time. Old fucking stone hands Omer Asik over there. He's got the grayscale, I tell ya.
grayscale. Harrison Barnes, because everything Harrison Barnes does is the worst and most boring thing ever done. That seems about right. Number four, Chetty Osman. Just want to see if he can actually get the ball in the net this time. Poor Chetty, my little Turkish bro, blocked by the rim the other day. Big run up, couldn't make it. I want to see him like redeem himself. And you know what? That's our four-man field. But I want to have a legacy entrant. Can we get Zach Randolph in there as well? Get in there, Zachy Cakes. His dunk comp move would be just doing a bunch of like awesome footwork in the post and then laying it up and under. Ah, that'd be fucking great. So there you go. Give me Isaiah Thomas, Omer Asik, Harrison Barnes, Chetty Osman, and Zach Randolph. That would be unfucking real. All right, let's get to the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me,
look at me, look at me. People, we're going to talk about some All-Star jerseys. And people seem to love those jerseys where they have your team on them. I don't get this at all. What the fuck, man? Like, you can see that every fucking day of the week. I want special All-Star jerseys. I want to get, like, an All-Star... If I go to an All-Star game, I want to be able to buy a jersey that says, hey, man, remember that amazing fucking All-Star game that I went to? Because that was fucking tight. This is the jersey from that. Yeah, man, this is the shit. So, let's go to the five best all-time All-Star jerseys. Let's do it. Number one. Oh, should we? Whoa, let's go backwards. All right, number five, 1978. Look them up. These are amazing. This is the first attempt at a creative design by the NBA, and they're fucking terrific. They've got this vertical piping splitting the red, white, and blue. The best part, though, it has an acrostics poem on it. Yes! I fucking love a good acrostics. Grade fucking three. Smashed it back then. Oh, Jimmy Clements loved himself a fucking acrostics. Anyway, the S in West and East is used as a start of stars. It's amazing. And it looks so fucking cool. So go look up these ones, the 1978 All-Star jerseys. They are fucking great. This is like Bill Walton kind of era. It's very cool. Number four. This is the 1982 to 1984 era. It's like a stripped back version of the 1981 one where there's like just an East on West on top of fun, like skinny numbers. And all stars written along the bottom, and there's stars piping up the inside seams all the way up around to the collar. They look very, very, very fucking cool. I'm really, really on board with those ones. Number three, it is the 1981, I believe, yeah, 1980-81. These are incredible. They've got a basis, no, 81, yeah. They've got a basis of blue or white with these red stripes intercut with white bars. They have east or west atop the number. And then six stars surrounding it. It's like, it's fucking awesome. It's really colorful, but you get the idea that they're special. They also, like, the typography of West and East looks really fucking nice, and they are mint. Go check them out, the 1981 one. They're kind of like, they're a lot more statement than the sort of stripped back versions, but they look fucking awesome. Number two, it's the early 90s, 91 to 94. There's like a big star in the middle of the chest with like a Windows 93 graphic design Chrome NBA on top and a cursive All-Star underneath it. It is fucking magical. It's so early 90s. It's absolutely perfect. And the cool thing is, like, this crosses a couple of different eras because you have like Magic, Isaiah, Clyde Drexler, Jordan in them, like, from that sort of 90, 91 kind of period. And then you also have like Shaq in his first couple of All-Star appearances wearing these. Zoe, Alonzo Mourning, Sean Kemp, Scottie Pippen in 94. Like, they look fucking amazing. They are a great jersey. It's like, it just screams 90s. It looks incredible. I love it. But number one of the five best all-time All-Star jerseys are the ones that look even more 90s. It's 95 and 96. These are amazing. 95 was in Phoenix, so it was purple and had a cactus on it. Oh, I love these. These could not be more iconic. 96 was in San Antonio, so they were teal, and it had a chili on it. Oh my God, why did we ever go away from these? They're so fucking good. Many would argue that this is about the last time that the All-Star games are actually important or played hard, but this was fucking great. 95, 96, they are the best all-time All-Star jerseys. Now, let's get to, so there's some also-rans. Now, I've seen people talk about the original simplistic sort of throwback ones, but there was like from 1985 to 1990, which was also bought back in 2003. It literally just has your NBA up top and like the logo, a number below it, and All-Star written in the bottom. It's super simple. There's stars along the side as well, under the arms, and they cycle through the red, white, and blue, with basically all red, all white, or all blue. And people like these. And simple usually rules when it comes to jerseys. But these are almost too simple. And the thing is, they don't get across the flash and fun of All-Star. It's like, they could basically be like Hickory High, but there's nothing fun about that. You need like a fucking cactus or a chili on it to get this idea of like, fuck yes, this is different, it's fun. It's a complete breakaway from what we've always done with All-Star things. Bang, away you go. 2007 is an also-ran. The cursive East-West, that was it. It looks so fucking good. A little bit of shoulder color and that's all. It's beautiful. 2012, the silly futuristic font again that they'd had since 2009. But these had the red and blue fade out as you sort of went towards the shorts, and they look fucking good now in retrospect. It's really cool. 1975, they just had East and West on it on the in a very nice looking font in purple and white with a hint of orange on the shorts. Mwah. Perfect, boss. And the worst, oh, let's do our five worst, come on. Number one is obviously gonna be the 97 through 2002 where they just got lazy and did their own team home and away jerseys. Get the fuck out of here. Whose stupid fucking idea was this? Where they're like, oh, let's not sell any extra jerseys. Let's just have them wear their usual ones. Because who wants to make money or make anybody feel special? That's fucking dumb. I want to own a fun All-Star jersey. I don't want to, like, I could just buy the fucking normal jersey any day of the week, right? It's so dumb. Anyway, number two, 2006. Just horrible. Too much white. Horrible design. Like this blocky fucking color and then white. It looks shit. It's like the Yao Ming kind of era. 2008, absolute shit show. Front and back with different colors, just completely gross. Ugh, hated 2008. 2014, sleeves. Sleeves on fucking NBA jerseys was the worst trend ever. Fuck you, Adidas. Sleeves with the New Orleans fleur-de-lis on it, fuck off. No good. 2015, they had the lone number on it as well. It was like the 1971 New York City All-Star one. It just looks shit though. Ugh, hated that one too. So there you go. The worst ones, 97 through 2002. 06, 08, 14, and 15. When I went in 2010, those were pretty good in Dallas, but the weird futuristic fucking font, man. How hard is it just to have like an easy-looking good font? Apparently, real fucking hard. All right, there you go. That was a fun wrap of the All-Star jerseys. Ah, oh, love that shit. Now let's get to the... we're not going to do an Australian player watch today because no one played last night apart from Thon McCur. So, we'll get to... Oh, shit! It's the NBA Australian All-Stars, you little ripper, right after these words. This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Australia. All right, NBA Australia, we're back. We'd usually do the Australian Player Watch, but let's do the NBA Australian All-Stars! So we've got Team LeBron, Team Steph in the normal one. Let's do Team Gaze and Team Heel. What do you reckon? So, we have 16 Australian players. So we've got two teams of eight. Who do you reckon wins? Team Gaze, we're going to do the old back and forth. So Gazey, obviously he picks himself and Shane Heel picks himself. This is like the players all at their absolute peak as well. You know, not now. That'd be dumb. Gazey, he picks... You know he picks his best mate, Mark Bradke. Oh, there you go, big fella. Shane the Hammer, he takes Bogut. Gaze, he's like, oh, I reckon I'll take my other Melbourne Tiger mate, Chris Anstey. What do you reckon? And Shane the Hammer Heel, he's like, oh, fuck, what am I going to do? I better take a point guard. I'll take Big Ben Simmons. Bang on. Gazey, he's like, all right, fuck it. I'm going to take, I need a point guard too. I'm going to take Patty Mills. And Hammer the Heel, he's like, oh, I need a power forward. Shit. Simmons can't do that all the time. I need a bit of shooting as well. Give me David Anderson. And Gazy's like, all right, well, fuck you. I need more shooting as well. Give me Joe Ingles. Jingler! So there you go. Not bad. Heel is like, all right, fuck. I need a starting point guard next to Ben Simmons. I need someone to play a bit of defense because I know I'm not going to. I'm Shane the Hammer Heel. So he picks Dele. So there you go. There's your starting lineups. Team Gazey, Patty Mills, Andrew Gaze. So yeah, point guard, Patty Mills. Shooting guard, Andrew Gaze. Small forward, Joe Ingles. Power forward, Chris Anstey. Center, Mark Bradke. A lot of shooting on that one. I like it a lot. Team Heel, he ends up with Dele at point guard. Shooting and defense. Shane Heel at shooting guard. Just fucking shooting from the fucking car park, mate. Big Ben Simmons sliding between power forward and small forward and back, or probably your actual point guard. David Anderson at power forward was shooting as well, and Andrew bloody Bogut right there at center, just out there smashing, mate. So then, what are you going to do with your bench there, Gazy? Well, he gets stuck with Luke Longley. He's like, oh shit, fucking Longley. Team Hill, he's like, oh fuck, I need another point guard. I've got Dele and Big Simo and that's it. Dante Exum, bang on. Gazy then takes Thon McCur. Oh shit, why not? Likes the look of him. Team Hill's like, I actually need like someone who can play the wing. I'm fucked. I've got Dante Exum, that'll have to do. I'll take Kemp Bairstow. It's getting low down here now. And Gazy's like, all right, I'll take fucking Luke Shenzer then. And Shane Hill's like, well, fuck you, I'm gonna take Bangers. I need another big go. We're gonna fucking lay you out, mate. And Gazy's like, all right, fuck you, I'm gonna take Mangok Mathurin. And everyone's like, who the fuck? And he's like, he played two games this year, fuck off. And then Team Hill rings it out by taking big fucking Outback Shaq, Nathan Joy. So there you go. Now we'll post these teams up on the old facey. We'll see what you reckon, see how it goes. And you can vote and tell us what you reckon. But there you go. The NBA Australian All-Stars, Team Gaze and Team Heel. I fucking love it. So Gazy ends up with Patty Mills, Andrew Gaze, Joe Ingles, Chris Anstey, Mark Brakey, Thon McCur, Luke Longley, Luke Shenzer, Mangok Mathiang, and Team Heel. Shane the Hammer Heel ends up with Dele, Shane Heel himself, Ben Simmons, David Anderson, Andrew Bogut, Dante Exum, Cam Bairstow, Bangers, Aaron Baines, and Nathan Outback Shaq Jawai. That is an amazing all-star game at their fucking peaks. Unreal. There you go. All right, just a quick one as well. What are we going to do with a bit of the Australian Player Watch? Well, Big Simo, you'll see him at All-Star Weekend in the rookie sophomore game representing Australia for the world team against the USA. Not bad. But that's about it for the weekend. Thon McCur played last night. They lost to the Nugs, did the Bucks. He started, had a 4-3-3 in 17 minutes. Yeah, not a great one for Thon. What are you going to do? But you know what? We've also got Kyrie in the All-Star game. So look, might be an All-Star MVP if he really wants to go for it and shove it in fucking LeBron's face. He's on LeBron's team. How good would it be for Kyrie to go, all right, fuck you, I'm going to win the MVP. Eat a dick. All right, it's Friday as well. So let's add to our Luke Longley Memorial All-Stars role players who just did their bloody job. And today, it's John Spider Sally for the Bad Boy Pistons. Oh, I love the Bad Boy Pistons. What do you think, Stephen A. Smith?
This is ridiculous.
Oh, Lord. Tell me about it. So, in both the Bad Boy Pistons title runs, I love John Sally. Played his part perfectly. Play hard-nosed defense, rebound like a demon, score when needed, and appear in Eddie with Whoopi Goldberg. Yes! Spider Sally, I fucking love you. So, that's what Bad Boy Piston John Spider Sally did. He averaged 9-5 in the 89 playoffs and 10-6 in the 90 playoffs, giving the Pistons exactly what they needed on the way to those two titles back to back. He was the ideal bad boy role player. A bad motherfucker, took no shit, would foul you harder than fucking Zeus. Unreal. He was always weirdly skinny and liked those short shorts a little bit too much. But man, he would foul you fucking hard, dude. Blocks, rebounds, score when needed, on your spider. And now he's a vegan entrepreneur and a dead set legend. Love it, on your spider, Sally. All right, let's get moving all the way to our All-Star Weekend preview of all the games, all the stuff, and we'll do it right after this message.
Oi, 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 it's old mate Dally over here. That's right, Matty Dally Vadova. And you're listening to NBA Straya.
All right, mate, we are back. It's NBA Australia. It's All-Star Week. I'm psyched on this. I love it too much. We don't have a Patty Mills game day ball, a game day inspiration ball. Looks like he may have lost his phone. He hasn't tweeted on tweeted since that fucking Jazz game. Oh, Jesus, Patty, come on, mate. Maybe you got down to Mexico a bit early. There you go, makes sense. So let's get to the All-Star Weekend
game previews. Game previews.
This is amazing. I love fucking just smashing cans, hanging out, watching All-Star shit. So Friday night, we've got the rookie sophomore game, World versus the World versus the USA. So who do you reckon wins this? It's an interesting one, right? Like the USA team, I don't think they're that good, right? the world team is like way fucking better, man. Like, so the world team. Well, let's go to the USA team. They've got Donovan Mitchell, Kyle Kuzma, no Lonzo Ball. He's been replaced by De'Aaron Fox, who is also now hurt, so who knows. Dennis Smith Jr., Brandon Ingram, Jaylen Brown, Chris Dunn, Malcolm Brogdon, El Presidente, who's out as well, Jason Tatum, and John Collins. Weird, right? There's no one like really that fucking bad. Well, Donovan Mitchell's a bad motherfucker. Brandon Ingram will put him up because he's like, feels like he's in his fourth year. But the world, check this out. Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Lauri Markkanen, Jamal Murray, Domantas Sabonis, the Slovakia King, Dario Saric, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Frankie Smokes, Dylan Brooks, and Buddy fucking Hield. That is awesome. The world will smash the USA in this one. Unreal. So give me world versus USA. Easy. Easy. Get him, Simo. Get him. All right, Saturday, who wins the skills challenge? We've got Joel Embiid. We've got Buddy Hield. We've got Lou Williams, Andre Drummond, Al Horford, Lauri Markkanen, Spencer Dinwiddie, Spencer, and Jamal Murray. I'll tell you who's going to win this one. Lou fucking Williams. Quick, great release. We'll smash it, I reckon. Joel Embiid will be good. Like, the big dudes, they, you know, when it's Anthony Davis and Karl-Anthony Towns, they come close. Joel Embiid will stand a chance, I reckon. So will Al Horford. But I think Lou Will is just a bit quicker than everybody. Get it, get it, get it, Lou Will. You got your money. Now get that skills challenge title. On ya. 3-point shootout. So who you got in this one out of this field? Eric Gordon, Devin Booker, Klay Thompson, Brad Beal, Wayne Ellington, Kyle Lowry, Tobias fucking Harris for some fucking unknown reason. Oh, we're going to have a Clipper on there somehow. Get the fuck out of here. It was on the Pistons. That's so fucking dumb. And Paul George. So give me Booker, I think. I think the final comes down to Booker and Klay. Booker's got a quick release, great stroke, gets into a rhythm really quickly, and so does Klay. So I think Booker might take this. He runs real fucking hot. So I think that's my pick. Booker or Klay. Booker and Klay in the final, I think Booker wins. How about the dunk comp, though, for Saturday night? This is going to be fun as shit, isn't it? God damn. Victor Oladipo, Donovan Mitchell, Larry Nance Jr., and Dennis Smith Jr. That's a lot of juniors, man. I think it might go to Dennis. I think he's got the jets to do something that'll just be like, oh, fucking what? Are you fucking kidding me? That shit was bananas. That'll be what I think will happen. Larry Nance Jr. as well, I think, is the roughie. But this is a great field, isn't it? Like, you've got three super athletic, like, small dudes in Victor Donovan fucking Mitchell and Dennis Smith Jr. And then you got the bigger dude, Larry Nance Jr., who's got fucking jets for feet. So I think Dennis will do it just because he's like the weird one who I don't know what he can do, but he's got fucking like, so he'll get so much air that it's scary. So give me Dennis. And then finally we get to the big game. Team LeBron versus Team Stephen. Get the fuck out of here. It's Team Steph. This is the dumbest thing ever. It's like, oh, no. His name is Stephen Curry. So we have to call it Team Stephen. Who the fuck calls him Stephen Curry? Get the fuck out of here, Stephen. Your name's Steph. Fuck off. All right, a healthy Team LeBron would have smashed Team Steph, I reckon. Now I'm not so sure, because Team Steph, I think, gets a bit of an edge because LeBron gets all the injury shitbirds. So Kevin Love is out. DeMarcus Cousins is out. Kristaps is out. And John Wall is out. And they're replaced by Kemba fucking Walker, Goran the Flog Dragic, Andre Drummond, and I mean, Paul George is very good, but still. So Team LeBron, we've got LeBron, the Coward Durant, Anthony Davis, Kyrie, Victor Oladipo, LaMarcus Aldridge, Brad Beal, Rusty Westbrook, Paul George, Andre, Goran, and Kemba. Man, tough one. Then Team Steph, we've got Steph, Klay, James Harden, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Joel Embiid, Draymond, Jimmy Butts, DeMar DeRozan kid, Al Horford, Dame Lillard, Kyle Lowry, and Big Cat, Karl Anthony Towns. Man, without Boogie, without Kristaps, and without John Wall, I think Team Steph now gets it, right? So my pick for Sunday night, Team LeBron versus Team Steph. I think Team Steph gets it. 164 to 158. I think there's a hint more defense than you've seen in years past. And I think Team Steph gets it. I think the MVP as well. Well, give me Kyrie. I think he just goes on a fucking tear. and puts it up. It'll be funny. But then if Team Steph wins, Kyrie's not going to win it, huh? Maybe Giannis. Yep, give me Giannis or Joel Embiid. But I think Giannis will win it. I think he'll be the one playing the hardest on Team Steph. And he's like, fuck all y'all. I'm going to make myself a superstar. So there you go. Team Steph win 164-158. Giannis wins MVP. I like it. All-star break. I'm fucking psyched. We might pop in for a bonus episode after Saturday night, quickly on Sunday. And then we'll do a wrap on Monday. But you know what? That's it. NBA Australia done for today. We're back next week. At some point, we might pop up for a couple of little quick short episodes, but because there's no games until next Thursday after All-Star Game, we'll probably take a couple of days off from the podcast, but everything will still be popping off on Twitter and Facebook. Don't forget that. NBA Australia, never forget. Every single day on Facebook, weekends included, absolutely everything. We had Gazy 2 days ago. We had Jingle and Joe Ingles yesterday. Fucking popping off, mate. It's great. So, we'll be back next week at some point. We'll have a All-Star wrap probably Monday. We might even have a bonus episode to wrap Saturday night on Sunday. Just basically keep an eye on your phone. Check it out, mate. Check it out. Podcast right there, mate. Right there. Anyway, that has been it. Thanks heaps. Subscribe on iTunes and Google Play. Chuck us a rating and review while you're at it. Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out House Hats, their new band. They are the best band in Australia. Go vote for Stop. Or request Stop, their new single on Triple J. Go on, help them out. They're fucking awesome. House Hats, trust me. Extra special thanks to the legends of Green Green Green, Iowa, Fascinator, and the Ramshackle Army for the tunes you heard throughout the episode. NBA Australia supports Australian bands. Check them all out on Bandcamp and Facey. Give them a smash. Great tunes, great bands. And that's it, man. It's been an awesome week. Thanks so much for listening to NBA Australia. It's been awesome. Enjoy the All-Star weekend. I know I'm going to be out here smashing cans, watching dunks, loving every fucking second of it. And we're going to finish up today with Cooking with Bainesy. And we'll catch us all next week. This is NBA Australia saying,
Lederhosen!
Cooking with Bainesy is filmed in front of a live studio audience.
It's Cooking with Bainesy!
G'day. Welcome to Cooking with Bainesy. I'm your host, Bainesy. And in this here episode, we're going to cook up what every red-blooded man needs to know how to cook. A bloody steak. I'll tell you, I love me a steak. To keep up this physique, I eat 24 of them a week, so I bloody well know how to cook them perfect, I tell you. So, let's get to it. It's bloody simple, mate. All you gotta do is go down to your butcher, get yourself a nice cut of sirloin. Don't bother with all that other shit. Sirloin will do you just fine. Now, just heat up your barbie, get her nice and hot. Fang a bit of butter just there on that hot plate. You can fuck about with all that oil spray and all that sort of shit, but butter will do just fine. So, bam, throw your sirloin on the hot plate right there. Now, grab yourself a tin, grab a green demon from the esky, whatever you reckon, hang out for a second, and just let her bloody cook. Because I like mistakes either bloodier than a Bundaberg boxing undercard or blacker than a dead dog's guts. So if you want him rare, leave it to cook on each side for 4 minutes each. And if you want it well done, it goes 7 minutes, 8 minutes each side. And don't bloody touch it. Just like your dad always said, don't fuck around with your meat in public. Just let it cook through each side until it's done and then flip it only bloody once. Don't fucking touch it. That's it. And voila, there you go. Bob's your bloody uncle. An absolute bloody ripper of a steak. Get a bit of salt and pepper on there as well. Bit of salt and pepper. And there you go. Done. Now, you can put some bloody mashed potatoes and peas on the side of that. Maybe some carrots. And you got yourself a bloody meal any red-blooded man will love. All right, how easy was that? So tune in next week for my bangers burger recipe, I reckon, on the next episode of Cooking with Bainesy.